VL Gaming, the PC gaming podcast with Robert Digital, Flopsy, and Ender's Logic.
Hello!
What up?
All right.
Oh, wow, that was bassy, dude.
Yeah, you like that? Yep.
Yeah, it falls downhill from there.
Yeah.
You said a president that you could not keep up.
So we were talking earlier today about wasting our lives on video games. I don't consider it wasting, but what the hell. Anyway, we were talking about which games have we wasted the most of our life on. And so I directed you to that page on Steam, because Steam will tell you what you've spent the most hours on. You guys want to start with what your number one game was on Steam, most hours played?
Well, yeah, sure. There was no, in the top three or four, there was no surprises for me. I mean,
there was for me.
Team Fortress 2, obviously, was going to take the top spot. Mm-hmm. As far as hours played in Steam, for sure, absolutely. But EverQuest would crush anything.
Yeah.
I think when I did a time played on EverQuest right before I quit, it was like a year and a half of playing.
Wow.
Of playing.
Entire year and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sitting at my computer playing.
Yeah. That I was going to talk about my 205 days played on my main character on WoW, dude. But you're putting me to shame with that year and a half play.
I did sell my account for almost $3,000. So.
It was all worth it. A year and a half. Your life.
Year and a half.
I got 0.0001 cent per hour. Wow. Yeah, that was pretty fucking tough.
Yeah.
But the surprises for me were like Champions Online. I don't even remember playing that much at all.
Me neither. And that was my number one on Steam.
I guess we must have played it together.
105 hours on
97. Yeah.
97? Wow, that's your top game on Steam? 97?
No.
This is the top surprise.
TF2.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
TF2, and then it goes maybe, I think Skyrim. At 150. But my TF2 is off. It says 900. Mm-hmm. At some point, it got reset. It was at 1,000, I think. Or so, like 900 when it got reset. And now it's at 800 again. So those two together is where I'm at. Like 1,500, 1,600.
Yeah, Steam has only been recording hours for like the last 2 years, is it? I don't know.
Two or three years.
That's a guess. But yeah, it hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
How about you, Bobby? What do you got?
Number one. Well, obviously, number one for me would be World of Warcraft. That's not on Steam. And then second, definitely Smite. But in Steam, my number one was actually Left 4 Dead 2, which I guess I'm not too surprised about. I played that game all summer one summer, like 2 months, just 80 hours, like maybe 40 to 80 hours a week, just crazy. There wasn't really too many surprises up there. I had Left 4 Dead 2 with 232 hours. Super Monday Night Combat was my second one.
Wow, second.
Yeah, 180 hours on that.
Wow,
you played so much more than me. I couldn't get into that. Even though I like MOBAs, I couldn't get into that one.
Yeah. I really
it wasn't really a MOBA. I would say it was much more of a shooter before.
It was a lane pusher,
at least.
It was
fun, though. Yeah. LPG.
Yeah.
All day. But yeah, TF2 was up there as well. That's
the only surprise there was a couple surprises. Mine was Champions Online top, then Counter-Strike Source, then Faster Than Light was FTL was number three for me with 83 hours. Then Borderlands.
How good is that game, man?
Yeah. Then Borderlands 1, and then Solstice with 53 hours played. Solstice
Jeez,
Arena.
Gross.
Yeah. So.
Oh, because you were playing that at work a lot.
I was, yeah.
I think Borderlands and Borderlands 2 was probably in all of our top fives, right?
Yeah, for sure. It goes like TF2, Skyrim, Borderlands 1, then 2, or 2, then 1 by 1 hour. And that's a testament to their games, you know, that I put in that much twice.
I didn't even buy Borderlands 2, I don't think.
So such a good game.
Oh, I played that. Consoles.
It's really funny. That's the other surprises on mine were Dragon Age. I totally forgot. I put 70 hours into Dragon Age.
Wow.
And that's without a second playthrough. That's one playthrough. I just took my time, I think.
That's why I don't want to pick up that game. I got a friend bugging me about playing that game, telling me how
it's
awesome
a great
it is.
Game, man.
Yeah,
it's
I know,
really
I know
good.
It is, but it's just like, that's a little daunting. Like, hey, 70 hours.
They're working on Dragon Age 3, I know. I think they're
yeah,
getting pretty
2
close.
Was a big joke. And then 3 is they're getting back to the roots, is what from what I hear.
That's the claim.
Yeah.
Heard that
You've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
And my other one was Plants vs. Zombie. I had like 50 or 60 hours. I didn't write it down.
I tried that game. I just could not get into it. Everybody would love that game.
Best tower defense game ever made.
Yeah, it was killer, you know? Like a game like that or even FTL, it's really easy to kill time on those games.
Yeah.
Really. You don't even realize how much time is passing by. But yeah, I guess there were no really big surprises for me in there. I don't know. Do you guys think there's any games coming up that are gonna make the charts? Gonna get up there in like the top five?
I don't think Wildstar is going to be on Steam. Let's just say hours played. At request next. If I were to guess.
Okay.
I'm putting all my eggs in one basket on that one.
You tend to do that a lot. You try to get overexcited for games.
What about Loadout? I feel like that one's going to rack up some hours because I play at least one game a day just for the daily prize. And I'll usually stick around and maybe play it for a little bit, but a half hour here, 2 hours there, like I think that's going to add up. I'm interested to see in a year from now how many hours I got.
You know, last night really bugged me with Loadout. You know, we've had a couple games. I was really drunk, but and I'm on my way there today. Hey, but I felt like there was hackers last night. I don't know. And you mentioned that it might have been too. They used some crazy headshots with the sniper rifle. I mean, just my head was missing so many times. Well, and crazy angles, too. Like, I was under on a bridge, and they were under the bridge, and I got headshot. It's like, how?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get headshots in that game, but. You know, it sucks when you think there's hackers in your game and, like, it's unfair. I mean, they may even just be, you know, really good or really leveled up. And at the same time, it's like, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, if it's hackers or if they've just got, like, if they way out, like, out-level you by a lot, then either way, it really sucks and it makes for a shitty gaming experience.
Do you think that maybe they had the bio scanner or whatever? Because I know some of those you can actually see through walls.
Yeah. And you can't shoot through walls.
Are you sure? Like, no, they got a ton of different ammo types. Maybe one of the ammo types.
Well, this is what I kind of predicted when we started playing this game, is that eventually if we didn't dedicate enough time or get the XP or loot boosts with this, then there is going to be a big disparity between players. You're going to have people who are really leveled up with really good guns, and you're going to have people with mediocre guns. Like, I feel like the gun I have was really good at first, but now it's just... I don't know. It's not cutting the mustard.
Do you think they do? Do they have matchmaking in any sort of way on that game?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think
it's all random.
I think if you have some leveling up system, you've got to implement some sort of matchmaking.
And I kind of feel shitty that I feel like, you know how you get matched with a bunch of people and you're in that group until somebody leaves or whatever. I feel like you should just keep going until you. It's not hard to find a group of people you just own and just stay with them. And you can farm so much more than if you're getting destroyed by somebody outright, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel shitty for doing that, but, or even something even is the best. But,
yeah, if you got some good games going on.
Yeah, but if I'm getting outright owned one shot with a shield, I mean, that's too much.
Yeah, it hits that point where it's not fun. And I totally understand why developers do this. I mean, if they just made a game like Insurgency where it's flat across the board, everyone has the same chance. I mean, yeah, that's great for competition, but that type of gameplay runs thin. You know, you aren't going to continue to play that after. Most people aren't going to continue to play that without a perk system or a leveling up system. That's what keeps people coming back. That's what got me to 180 hours on Super Monday Night Combat. I was trying to get those upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way of getting people to come back and keep playing your game, and it's a way for them to make money. And, I mean, I don't blame them for doing it, but this is the negative side of that.
Yep. Yeah. And to me, I was really excited about Loadout when we first started playing. It was fun. And then I realized it was fun because we were all level ones. It was a brand new game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody was just figuring out what was going on and all. And now that everybody has and everybody's leveled up, I have no fun at all in that game.
Yeah. And you have a tenth of the time played, me and Bobby do now, too. So you have a tenth of the potency.
Yeah, so it's even worse. But yeah, I mean, sometimes you just blow up. You don't even know what happened. You're just like, well, I'm dead.
What's great about this, and I made this analogy the first time we brought up Loadout, is. Kind of like Magic the Gathering, like you're working on your deck. So I lay down last night. I was fucking wasted. And the room's spinning. And I'm like, oh, I got to go make a gun. So I got up out of bed. And I put together a scuttle. No, it's not scuttle. It's something. There's a thing where you can load multiple rockets in one shot. I don't know what it's called. I just unlocked it last night. Fuck. I don't remember. Anyway, so you load all these rockets and you shoot them all at once. And then so there's six rockets and they're all remote controlled. And then they're cluster bombs. And so I can blow them up whenever I want. So all I got to do is fly these rockets above somebody's head and just rain down fucking chaos on them. And well, this is all, you know, I did it to bots because I haven't played it in a game yet. But playing the remote control is so fun, man, because... You're like, oh, I'm going to get this guy. Oh, I hit a wall. oh, I'm gonna, you're playing like almost a driving game, you know? Yeah, you try, and then you can really help out your teammates. They think nobody's around, like a teammate is going to help them. And the next thing you know, you just kill two guys with your shit. It's fun. Because I was playing a different version of the remote control, not this new one that I built. It'll probably be crap, but goddamn, it looks cool. It looks like napalm.
That's funny.
Yeah, they do have fun guns in there. So let's talk a little bit about Insurgency. We've been playing that. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Dylan. Thank you, everyone, for your feedback and your emails. We definitely appreciate that. And congratulations to the winner of the free copy of Insurgency.
Yeah, congratulations,
Good luck
Dylan.
With that game, man. That game, it was getting on my nerves for a little bit there.
No, I'm having so much more fun with Insurgency than I am with Loadout.
Really?
Yeah, like, and especially if you're playing it with a couple people you know.
Well, you can get kills in Insurgency.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
my kind of, like, sneaky turtle-like gameplay works for Insurgency. It does not work at all for
And
Loadout.
It doesn't work for me. We have the opposite experience. I don't have the patience to, like, camp as much.
Well, going from Loadout to this game is a drastic difference.
Yeah.
And you really need to slow it down and be patient in this game. And if you have been playing Loadout like we have for the last couple of weeks and then you go into this game, it's a huge change of pace and it's really hard to adjust to. And at first I thought, okay, this game is a lot like Counter-Strike, obviously. But now that I've played it a little bit more, I almost feel like it's a little more, I mean, it's still like Counter-Strike, but it's also a lot like Red Orchestra. Did you guys play that one at all?
I didn't play it.
No.
Okay. I mean, that one, just like the waiting around and being patient and being very opportunistic, just waiting for that right moment to make a move. And
it makes me feel a lot like what I imagine war would be like. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot of like sitting and you don't want to move because in real life, you don't want to get your head shot
But you
off.
Have to move because the timer's going down
yeah.
and you're going to lose the
yeah.
whatever, the opportunity or whatever.
Yeah. That's kind of why I like it.
I do like the maps on there. Now that I've played a little bit more, I've played a few different maps, and they've got this bigger one with, like, some hills. It's a more open outdoor.
That's Peak. A sniper fest.
Peak, yeah.
I took a shotgun to a sniper party. Didn't work out.
No.
Not even close.
The shotguns, though, you can shoot
No, they're
people.
Good.
Yeah.
I switched over full-time to shotguns now. You can kill people at, I mean, probably about 30 yards with one shot.
Wow.
Long range. It's pretty good.
Hmm.
How great... how dynamic a computer or a PC gaming could be, where you can have two games with the exact same controls, Loadout and pretty close, 80% of the controls are the same, and completely different gameplay and both fun.
Yeah.
How cool is that, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Should we talk about new games?
Yeah, let's talk about new games. What new games you want to talk about? Well, there was one big one, right? That came out this week.
Yeah.
Thief. The big letdown.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, a 70, what, 6? Is it hanging at?
You know, 72? It actually dropped a little bit. Originally when the game came out, the Metascore was in the low 70s, mid 70s, and now it's at 69 or 68, I believe.
When there's a game with this much hype behind it and it's a AAA title, I am expecting 90s with that kind of buzz about it.
I'm not a huge one on Metacritic. Do you guys find that Metacritic is pretty accurate to your taste?
I feel so. But I've always said this about you. You hate everything that everybody likes.
Well, I just feel like there's some gems that can be found with low Metacritics that people just don't understand or don't want to get into or don't feel like it matches up to their playstyle. Just like you watch movie critics, and I never liked any of the movies that Siskel and Ebert liked, but...
Yeah.
You know, they were one of the critics that would review all the movies.
All we had back in the day,
yeah.
the internet.
Yeah.
Now, there's so many movie critics, you can find somebody that you match up with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, which is nice.
The thing about Metacritic, though, is it's like Rotten Tomatoes for movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes all those different reviews and it sums them up and creates an average through some formula. And it comes up with a number based on that. So it's not just one person or a group of people. I don't know if it's biased in any way, but you know, I don't solely go off that. I've played plenty of games that have gotten really low scores on Metacritic and they've been great.
Like, how else do you get to 800?
Yeah, seriously. So neither one of you guys are going to be buying Thief then.
With the reviews and the response that people have had to this game, we're probably going to see it on sale for half price with in the next 6 months.
What's the next sale? The summer sale, right?
The next big one. But they do a lot of things. You know, they'll do like probably like a St. Patrick's Day or any holiday they can get a sale out, they'll do it. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, you can go to good old or Green Man Gaming. They got a lot of sales too. But I guarantee you we're going to see this on sale significantly lower in the next 6 months.
Well, I'll be able to play it on PS4, so I'll let you guys know how it is on a console. But I'm not planning. I'm not planning on picking this up for the PC either.
I mean, from what I hear, a lot of people are comparing it to Dishonored, and I hear it's a little more slower paced than Dishonored. And I don't know if people, most people, have the patience for these type of stealth games where you're not.
I'm not a stealth guy.
It's not necessarily about the combat; it's more about sneaking around.
Yeah. So, does this game have magic similar to Dishonored, or no. Is this like a real? You're acting like a thief.
Yeah, there are perks, but even if you get the combat perks, you can't just fight people.
See,
you're going to lose 2-on-1 or whatever.
I think this game, like, I'm more interested in this game than either of you guys are. And Amelia, you showed me those videos that, a couple of videos.
It was cool that it was actually robbing the dude.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, save the country or whatever.
Yeah, there's some things that I generally don't buy $60 games off the bat anyways. So yeah. I'm probably going to wait for a little while. Actually, I'll probably play it on PS4, but I got a little excitement for it.
Yeah, they had the pre-sale was like $45, so now that it's out on sale, it's $50, which, you know, is average, maybe even a little bit below average for a AAA title being released. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure at some point I'll play this game.
I'm glad that I used Eidos for a...
Is it Eidos or Eidos? Does anybody know?
I say Eidos, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Eidos.
I thought it was Eidos, too.
But anyway... when I brought it up about when we're talking about developers and they have a spotty past. I mean, it's a 70, or it's just, yeah, let's call it 70. It's not a terrible game. It's a good game. 70 is good. $60? No.
$50, he said.
And so it's, oh, did they drop it?
No, it's 50. It was never 60.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm going to go buy it right now then. No. Oh, well, I'm definitely going to wait till $7.99 or less.
$7.99. Yeah. Wow.
You know what? I don't want to. I'm not a stealth guy, so I'm not going to dump 9 hours into it. I might not even play it for free.
Yeah.
There's so many games out there for free now.
Yeah.
I mean,
good ones.
Chad, too. Didn't you play a whole bunch of them
this week? Yeah. So this week I had some free time.
Segway.
Yeah. Nice. So I decided to
call it out.
I decided to crank up some of the free to plays on Steam and give a couple of them out. Give a couple of them a try and see what they were. So the first one I tried was Infinity Wars. This is a CCG game, which I thought was poor to worse than poor.
That's the nicest way you can put it.
There's been some other free to play CCGs out on Steam that I've liked better. This one was muddled and confusing and didn't explain a whole lot of things well, and the gameplay didn't seem very crisp, and it just was not a fun CCG at all to play.
What was the one question about it? What was the was it a fantasy or was it military?
It was a science fiction sci-fi S one. Yeah. There was people with guns and flying and stuff like that.
Mm.
So that one was that. The other one that I played was Guns 2, which
capital Z
with a capital Z in that. Which I also played another one called Raiders with a capital Z in it. Also, so I don't know what's going on.
Was Raiders also a Japanese game?
Raiders, I think I think both of those are Korean. Actually, are they?
Oh, really?
Are they Japanese or Korean?
I just got the heavy Japanese vibe from the guns.
Yeah, the art seemed. I fucking know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
So Raiders, I couldn't even get into the game. Like when I tried to create an account, and it locked on me there, and I had to go into the internet browser and create an account outside of the game. Then go back into the game, use that account, go in. Once I created a character, I locked loading into the world every time.
Terrible, huh?
So, I don't know how good it is, but I can tell you how bad it is.
And to tell you guys how much Chad put into this one, we thought he was playing Raiders all night. He told me he was going to bed, right? So, he goes in and he shuts his door. And I'm playing, loadout with Bobby, and it's like, Chad's playing Raiders. We played like 3-4 hours last night. Chad's playing Raiders. So I'm texting him and I'm sending him Skype. I was like, this motherfucker told me he was going to sleep. And I guess he just got asleep. Frustrated.
I got pissed that Raiders went low. So
he tried so hard,
bed.
He fell asleep. Panting.
But Guns 2, on the other hand, I actually had a little fun playing it for the couple hours that I was.
Doesn't compare it to Guns 1.
Really?
No, it's Guns the Second Duel, right?
Yeah, something
it's,
like that.
It's not Guns 2. It's just Guns the Second Duel. Like, we don't know what happened to the first duel, but apparently there's a second one. And yeah, I didn't think that game was that bad. Emilio and I played it for a little bit, and I didn't think it was horrible. I mean, it seemed fun. The trailer, definitely. I'm like trying to play it, and I'm like, why can't I do what they were doing in the trailer? You know, like,
you know, sometimes I feel like we give games a little bit more like thumbs up because we're playing together, and that initially is fun. I mean, mm-hmm. We could be playing checkers, and it'd be fun, you know? Because we're playing against each other, and we're friends, and we bullshit and stuff.
I think the reason I'm not hating on the game is because it was free-to-play.
Yeah.
Like, they said, hey, this game's free-to-play. If you like it, spend money. If you don't, play it for the free part. And I liked it enough to play it for the free part, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's I appreciate that. If they were trying to sell this for $4.99 or whatever, yeah. there's no
they
way.
Do make their money off of microtransactions. And tell them, Bobby. Get them. But they always try to sneak in ways to, like, get some money out of you, you know? Like we were talking about with Loadout, how they say, like, you know, you can play this for free, but if you really want to be relevant in this game and not get owned every match, then, you know, throw us a couple bucks. Yeah. And in this game, like, apparently to respawn, you have to use coins or something. In Guns, you have to use coins to respawn. And so we're blowing through those, Emilio and I. We're just like,
what?
Oh,
what
respawn,
are you guys talking about?
Respawn. When you die. Did you play the campaign?
No, I didn't play the
campaign. Campaign's tough.
Yeah. Just multiplayer.
Yeah, so we're just, oh, click the button to reset. 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 Over and over. Like respawn. I mean, respawn. Oh, that's fine. Hey, you can't respawn anymore. No more coins. How much are coins? $2.
Like just, a coin?
Yeah.
$2.50 for a coin.
Wow. Yeah. So, no, I just played the 4v4 multiplayer and had a great time. Like,
okay.
I played the character I played had a sword as one weapon, like a machine gun as a second weapon, and a sniper. No, the first guy, the main guy.
Yeah. I was playing as the girl too, and Amelia was like the tank guy.
Yeah.
But
I like my guy.
The sniper was awesome.
Really cool.
It was nice because I had a melee, I had a medium range, and I had a long range. So it was nice that I could switch by it.
But I don't think we could queue up with two people for multiplayer like that.
No, we could. For the campaign?
No, only for the campaign.
Oh, I see.
Not for the deathmatch or whatever the other...
that's what it is. Yeah.
PvP mode.
For deathmatch, you can't have friends with you.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Well, maybe you can for $2.50.
So that's that one. The next game that I played that was free to play was CLR, which is Cannons, Lasers, and Rockets. This is a MOBA-esque game that takes place in outer space, and you play as ships, and you're trying to destroy the other base. And you level up, and just like MOBAs, and you can equip different things on your ship, and it sounds like a cool idea, right?
Right.
No, it was the worst implementation. This was probably the worst game I've ever played. Like,
wow. It
was seriously...
Worse than the game you couldn't play?
I'd rather sit watching Raiders play a little than play CLR. Because, correct me, like, maybe somebody's played this game and knows what to do. So, you push W to go forward,
but
your mouse movement doesn't control your movement. You have to control left or right with the A and D.
Yeah.
But you can move your camera around and try to, like, shoot things, but your gun always shoots forward. It doesn't matter where you're looking around. And it's just nothing is explained.
Yeah.
And there's drift going on, and they don't have... Obviously, they don't have lanes.
What are you shooting?
So they've got, like, these ships that are set up...
I don't
want
to know anymore.
Yeah.
Stop right there.
It was terrible. I played for 45 minutes, and I wished I had that 45 minutes left of my life back because
so
it was so bad.
After playing Guns last night, it just dawned on me. Are Western developers... Have we superseded the origins? Like, we originally only played Japanese games because that's all there was. Mario Brothers, Sonic, all that stuff is all Japanese games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then... Americans and English.
I don't know if Atari was it?
No, it was an American company, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there, I mean, it was Atari, right? It was the worst games ever. It was the only games.
It predated and then, Nintendo.
Yeah. They were good until something else was there.
Okay, well, I understand what you're saying. The market was once predominantly Japanese.
I would say only, because nobody was playing Atari once Nintendo came out. Unless you were like...
Well, yeah, but then American games came out for Nintendo. Like, American developers made games.
Not for the first, I would say, a few years at least.
Had to happen at some point.
Okay.
We're
Mr. Shutdown, everybody.
So...
So anyway, what I'm saying is, maybe not for them. Maybe American games suck for them. But as far as for Western tastes, we have... our developers know what we want, and they're developing better games for us than they did, and maybe ever will again. Because I can't think of a strong Japanese game. Devil May Cry, maybe that's something that's... any Capcom game, really. Those kind of stick out a little bit.
What about Dark Souls? That's another
Asian one. Yeah, that did pretty well. But as far as like dominating the market, not even close. They have a small portion of the market share. When you're talking about the developers that, you know, you're talking about Rockstar, you're talking about all these different developers that are doing well. None of them are Japanese. And it's just an interesting thing that I thought about last time.
Yeah, and I think it really comes down to the maturation of the entertainment of the gaming industry, because as we've diversified in what type of games we like, we've really honed in on, you know, Americans like this, and Japanese like that. Like, Xbox is huge in America, and it doesn't sell shit in Japan.
Well, the controllers are too big for their little hands.
Well, so, like, I agree with you, but if you went over to Japan and talked to them, they'd probably say the exact opposite. They'd probably say, like, the American, you know, American game developers whatever, don't make good games.
Now, on the Counter-Stroke, I was also saying how great it would be. I mean, maybe a little racist here, but how great would our culture be if there's no such thing as corniness? I feel like that's what the Japanese have going on. Well, I feel like that's what they have going on. They're just corny as shit. Have you seen the variety shows? And it's just ridiculous. And it's fun, though. Like, they're having fun. And we're all snarky, like, oh, that's fucking corny. You've done that joke before. No, they fucking same joke. 100 years. Fuck it. And I'll dress up like a big chicken and run around. It's fun. You know what I say? I mean, if you did that on American television,
I can't lowbrow on that. I have no idea what...
none of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know if I can speak to that intimate knowledge of
how does corniness the Asian culture relate to video games?
That game was corny. Guns was really fucking corny.
Oh, see, I didn't get corny,
corny
out of it.
There's corny American games.
I didn't get corny
there
out
are.
Of it.
Yeah.
Like, but Jazz Punk, which I saw a video for.
That
game was
out there.
Our name is corny for things. You guys know what corny is?
Yeah.
Theirs is awesome for corny, what we call corny. It's like, wow.
There are corny things that people think are awesome in the United States. That
yeah.
You just, you gotta,
yeah.
I don't know. I think you're going to find that in different pockets of American culture. But, you know, I think, like, there's not really any big Japanese developers. Well, maybe there are. I don't know. But I feel like that big developers, there's, like, big developers and there's indie developers. I feel like the smaller, like, mid-range ones are getting, like disappearing or something.
I think for the Japanese, though, they tend to design for consoles. Like, all the ones that you know of are
doesn't
console
the handheld
games.
Like what is it though
3DS
yeah the 3DS sell like big over there.
You're totally right, man. You are totally right, because I mean, what PC game, what PC developer is there?
Yeah, there not that I know of. I mean,
that's really
obviously who's ever making guns is making something. I don't know. I got one more on my free to play.
I think we're naming this one guns.
I got one more on my free to play. So the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
Yeah, so that just went open beta. It's available on Steam. You don't need a key or anything. You can download it. You can play it. That game will be a lot of fun. It is a isometric style dungeon crawler, but the whole trick with it is you have a castle and that you can set up defenses for it, and you can go invade.
I could have to.
Yeah, right? You have to. Yeah. Yes, you're right. And you can go invade other people's castles. And the cool thing is you can't make your castle something that you can't beat. your castle will only be available if you've beaten it, if you've gone through and beaten it. So people can't do like impossible castles. So every castle that's out there and available has been beaten.
Amazing idea.
Mm. Yeah.
Amazing idea. Yeah. You can't break the game.
You can't break the game. It's yeah. Yeah, that's what it appears to be.
Well, you cool. probably can, but not that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people playing that on my friends list on Steam. That seems to be one that's getting pretty popular. I might have to check that one out.
I don't know what this new genre is called, but I've seen about three of them now. I can't name the other two, but it's all about, like, go rob the other people, and you have your own base.
Yeah.
There's a very basic one on Steam as well. But it's like you live in a building, and you go and rob the other people's apartments. But you have traps in your apartment, and you have to keep your family safe.
It's a great message to put out there to young people.
But this one, though, the art style is awesome. It's a big developer or a big publisher put this out. I think I want to say Ubisoft.
Campy, too.
It is campy.
Yeah.
And they try to be funny, and it just pulls off corny like we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. Yes. Japanese would be like, yeah!
Yeah. So it is very, very corny, but the art style is really cool. The gameplay is fun. You know, if you like Diablo or any of those other like dungeon crawlers, you'll really like this one. There's four basic... Well, there's three classes... an archer, a mage, and a knight. And then there's one that is like a premium class.
Run away.
Yeah, which you can only get if you spend a certain amount or bought
it. Yeah, she's like a girl you pick up at the bus stop.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a lot of fun on it. I was having a couple issues. It's still open beta, so there's a couple bugs and what have you. But I was having a lot of fun.
I'm way more into the... I haven't played it. I downloaded it last night, but I'm way more into the dungeon aspect of it. Like, I want to make, I'd be way more focused on the defensive.
See, we should share an account because I don't want to play that defense. I just want to go in and shoot stuff. You know, I played the archer, and I just want to go in and kill things.
Yeah. I wish there was some way to co-op this. You know,
where
you
could play seriously.
It wouldn't be fair for the defensive person, though. You know.
Hmm. Yeah,
maybe if all the defenses doubled. Per person, but
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, of all those games, definitely The Mighty Quest for Epic Loot. That's the one that I highly recommend.
I think that was the only one you recommended.
Yeah. Yes, you're correct. That is. Yeah. No, Guns was fun too.
Didn't he say the other ones were corny Japanese games? I think that's what he said.
Yeah. So. Right.
So, I'm going to go
real quick.
No segue at all.
Real quick. I'm
going to jump into Oculus Rift news because I love things that are in the future because they're all perfect until you destroy them with reality when they actually come out. But anyway, so an Oscar-nominated director, his name is Danfeng Dennis. I don't know what he was. Let's see. He was... I don't know. He made some independent film and he got nominated for an Oscar, so he knows what he's doing. He's making...
So he's better than Yubel, is what you're saying.
Yubel. You don't know who that is?
No, I have no idea what you guys
are
talking
about.
Any video game movie that came out that wasn't...
Far Cry, House of the Dead, he is the worst.
Postal.
This guy is horrible.
Yeah.
I think he did
stuff. Making movies on
You'd
games?
Probably really like him.
Yeah. Anyway, this guy's making a documentary about Oculus within Oculus. So it's going to be shot in 3D space. So the only way you can watch this is with an Oculus Rift.
That's a really cool idea.
And so as you go through the story, I imagine you'll be traveling through the story. There's going to be a beginning, and you walk through the middle, and then you walk through the end, and it tells a story. There's so many possibilities with the Oculus, and this is just another one. And is this going to be... able to be nominated for a film? I guess it's not a film, right? So,
well, I mean, is it just a 3D film that you just watch and it's just a 3D film?
I don't know how interactive it is. Probably not very much if it is, because it's a documentary.
Yeah.
So it's telling you information. Whether or not you have to unlock stuff, I doubt it. There's not a lot of information. It's just like, hey guys, I'm going to do this, is what he said, and that's all the information that's out there. But good for him, and fucking awesome. Move the movement forward. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Also in Oculus News, there's a game I saw with Chad today. It's all over YouTube. It's called Dangerous Elite. and it's a...
Worst title ever, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, really bad.
I'd rather play Guns...
Oh, I'm sorry. Elite Semicolon. Colon. Dangerous. That's the name of the game.
Semicolon or colon?
What's the one with the two dots?
That's a colon.
What? I mean, did you feel the need? Are you six Corona deep? I don't think so.
So Elite, colon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dangerous.
It's a space sim. It looks a lot like the fighting, the Starfighter part of Star Citizen. But just that. That's all it is. There's no other portion to it. And it looks great. I mean, most of the stuff that comes out for the Oculus looks like crap because of the low resolution and all that. This looks really good. It's really immersive. The people that have been playing it says that it's so immersive that your brain gets tricked every once in a while because the game comes with a joystick that is an exact replica of the joystick that's in your fighter jet. So when you look down, it looks like you're really holding the real joystick in the game. And when you're moving it, your controller, your virtual hands are doing the same thing. So your brain is tricked over and over, and it's so immersive. From what I've heard, this is the best game on Oculus so far. And everything else has been tech demos and little mini games. Yeah. This is the first like game, you know?
So one of my favorite games of all time, PC games, is X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter. Like, that game blew me away, and I still wish they would remake that game, because that game, I wasted my youth on that game.
That'll be on Oculus quick.
Yeah, so X-Wing, TIE Fighter, and X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter, I spent my whole youth doing. And when I saw that video that you showed me, it, like, threw me right back to where, you know, playing X-Wing vs. TIE
That's
Fighter.
That's awesome.
So, it almost makes me want to buy an Oculus Rift just to play a game like that, because you can see how that would work in an Oculus Rift and how immersive you could probably
Could you imagine, like, looking behind you in real time to see if there's a ship behind you?
Yeah.
Fuck! That would be so awesome. And we have a friend that doesn't play any games, and I've shown him the Oculus Rift, and he's like, I'm gonna buy one. I'm like, you gotta wait, dude. They're gonna be better. Like, the Crystal Cove, there's only, like, three or four of them in the world, from what I hear. But there's already another one coming down the pipe. And so if you buy one of these dev kits, I mean, you're doing yourself a disservice. You just got to wait. And whatever, you know, you're building up the...
I think it's supposed to be out during this year.
Steam said, Valve said, because Valve is now working with Oculus, they thought maybe of making their own, but they ultimately went with, we're just going to help these guys do their thing. Because they had their own VR set. In the works, and they said, we're just going to give them all the knowledge. Again, fuck, I would suck Valve's cock. Look, what other company what other company is going to take what they've learned and give it to a competitor to...
They're not a competitor, though.
They would have been.
They could have been.
Valve, they have a very open source attitude towards a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They want to see the industry move.
They just want to move the industry. You know, they're all making enough money. Per employee, they're making more money than Google or any of the big, or Apple.
I got a new employee guide from Valve. Have you guys ever seen that?
Hmm.
They have them online, and I recommend, if you guys are interested, to download. It's I forget what it exactly is called, but it's a Valve new employee guide, and it basically talks about how the structure of Valve and how it works. They basically only have one title.
Yeah.
You're just a Valve employee. Mm-hmm. And if you want to work on something...
Dave Noll is not at the lead.
Yeah.
Per se.
Yeah. So, like, their whole attitude is a really unique attitude, and it works. But I think it is very structured specifically to gaming and that type of hyper-creative attitude Valve has. But
like, when you see the campuses at Pixar or at Google, I mean, they have all these things that have slides and fucking go-karts and all this shit around. And it's just things to get the mind going, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what the Valve campus looks like, but I imagine it's something similar where you can bring toys to work and shit like that, you know? And that's what you got to do. I mean, the best companies run that way. Google, Apple, Valve. And it's just like a whole open source thing, and that's humans at their best. That's just run amok and do something creative. Yeah, I think it was Google that has something called 20% time, where 20% of your workday you have to commit to something that's going to improve the world or the company. But it doesn't have to do anything to do with anything else that you're doing. Hmm. So you just go off and do, and that's where Gmail came from. You know, it's really cool. Like, yeah. Gmail's huge.
And to be fair to a lot of other companies, those companies, their core value is creativity. So they emphasize that,
right.
You know, and I think, yeah, I agree with you. Like, I wish more companies would do the structure that they have.
Campus kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it works with certain, depending on what the type of company is or what you're trying to, the product you're trying to produce. I mean, for a video game company, yeah, that works well because those need to be creative.
Mm-hmm. And Pixar, yeah, same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
It's all
movies and entertainment, yeah, it's best when you just get talented people and give them a little bit of freedom.
Absolutely. And you know what? Somebody left Valve and they're like, no, there's definitely a hierarchy and, you know.
Yeah, it's just that it's not very fair. Clicky or something.
Yeah, there's clicks and stuff and blah, blah, blah. It just felt like somebody that couldn't jive with the rest and he got ousted. And he's had some shitty shit things to say.
Yeah.
Nobody likes you, bro.
What you got next, Bobby?
I guess I'll talk about Contrast for a minute. You guys always talk about new games. I'm always talking about these games that came out like, I don't know, a year ago or something. But I finally
when they go on sale, right?
No, I've had Contrast for a while. I played the first act, and then I recently was just like, I got to finish this. I played the last two acts.
What is Contrast? Because I don't know anything about it.
It's a puzzle game where it's not 2D. It's three-dimensional, and you play a character who can transform into a shadow, and then it becomes two-dimensional. So you shift from 2D to 3D, solving these different puzzles. So you might have to do something like move an object so it's in front of a light that casts a shadow against a wall, and now you can turn into a shadow and hop up on top of the shadow of the object that you moved, and then get to another ledge. So it's pretty creative.
Sounds like Paper Mario.
Is it fun?
The controls were very glitchy and unintuitive. That kind of, it didn't ruin it for me, but yeah, it was definitely a con. The game was only about 4 hours long. The story was nothing amazing, but I really liked the style. It takes place in like the 20s, like the 1920s. I think, I'm not sure where it's actually set at. It almost seems like European, like it might be in France or something. But the dialogue between the characters is of that time, and it's just got this really kind of desaturated look to it. That's what initially drew me to this game. Like, I saw some screenshots and some gameplay footage. I'm like, that looks really cool. You know, I liked the artistic direction. I say that about so many games. But, you know, it looked cool. I mean, it was fun. It was short, but it was good. Not a bad game.
So would you recommend us playing it?
I don't know. See, I think it's kind of in the same camp as Guacamelee, but I think Guacamelee is more your guys' style. This one is a little more art house, you know, a little more film noir kind of thing.
A little more indie?
Yeah, sort of. A little more old-timey, you know?
Did you guys ever play the game that was, it was a sandbox game, takes place in France, everything's in black and white until you like take over the regions and then they turn into color. Do you guys remember that game?
Oh, that isn't. Oh no, it's definitely PC? Not the one I'm thinking.
I thought it was on PC as well.
More questions than answers, folks.
It's not Fable.
Tune in next week when we will know anything either.
You aren't talking about Fable, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that vaguely sounded.
Because that's what it sounded like when you were talking about, you know, the saturation and taking place in Europe, but.
I watched a YouTube video that cracked me up.
Are you going to say real quick once?
No. I'm trying to avoid it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm letting you do it. You've done it twice now. Xbox sign up. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah.
So brilliant.
Tell me about it.
It's dated, whatever. Everybody that's listening to this probably heard it. But this kid, because the Xbox has voice recognition, so he named himself Xbox sign out on what is it? Call of Duty.
Probably, yeah, I think he was playing Call of Duty
or Battlefield or whatever. And then he was griefing. So then when people were like, "Hey, stop it! Hey, Xbox sign out! Stop it!" Xbox signs out, And before he does it, he prerequisite, like, the dumb people are actually going to sign out because you get a warning. And he's like, the smart people are going to figure it out. And, you know, there's some people who are like, hey, you... Oh, I see what you're saying. Hey, guys, this guy... I can't say his name, but this guy has some, don't say his name, but he has a pretty clever name, you know? And then, there's this little kid, man. This is the one that really got me. He's like 8, you know? And he's like, hey, get out of my way. Hey, get out of the way, Xbox. Oh. I see what you're doing. Oh, man, it was great. It was a great little video.
It's the moment of realization. Yeah, I remember that one. That was funny.
Yeah.
Clever.
Chad, what you got?
So, ESO weekend. This is another beta weekend for ESO. ESO
weekend and I don't care. ESO weekend.
Yeah, but you're an ESO, you're an Elder Scrolls fan. Well,
ever since Skyrim. I mean, I jumped on a Skyrim. I'm a Bethesda fan. And Bethesda didn't make this game. ZeniMax did. And it shows.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you have no interest in playing this weekend?
I mean, I was down to play it today, but... Bobby had diarrhea or something.
No, he decided to uninstall the whole game.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Because he was never going
to
play
again. See how I jumped to diarrhea automatically?
Yeah. So, you guys aren't going to play this weekend?
I don't think so, no. Did not really... You know, I don't know what I wanted from this game. I don't know what would have made me...
But it didn't
what turned me around. Yeah, you know, it's just...
Do you get wowed, Bobby? What's the last thing that wowed you?
That's going to take a minute for me to...
Besides when you walked in when I was naked.
Yeah, that
does. Now you'll never feel like a real man.
Can we get back to ESO?
Oh, sorry.
Jesus. Stop drinking. ESO, you're not going to play again.
I don't think so.
You have no interest at all.
I was really turned off by that game, but then... I don't know. I was kind of excited for ESO because I was like, the only thing I don't like about Skyrim is that it needs to be multiplayer. But it just... I don't know. I don't know what I want because then I got what I wanted. It's like, yeah, this is multiplayer. It's an MMO and it's Skyrim. And then I was like, nah, I don't like this either. You know, I don't know what
they can do. Have you thought about you don't like things?
Oh, no. Yeah. I love lots of things. I love Left 4 Dead 2. That's why I played 230 hours of it.
All right.
Okay.
So he needs a Left 4 Dead 2.
I tried to force him into Smite this week. I'm not having it.
Really? No, I played a little bit. I had fun for a few matches, but it's just like...
He actually had some fun playing Dongate today.
Yeah. I enjoyed
Dongate was fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into
it. I'm a little surprised you guys like Dongate because I was scared League of Legends is kind of like the newbie version and Dota 2 is the hard. And Dongate's kind of like in the middle.
Right in the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty.
It is pretty. Yeah. And they just did a brand new map update.
You know what might have had something to do with it is the fact that we've been playing all these MOBAs, these top-down MOBAs, and now we're kind of getting used to the style, you know?
That's true.
It was very foreign when we first started with Dota 2. League of Legends, I'm like, oh, I like this one a little bit better, and I'm getting used to that style, and now we play Dongate, same exact thing. It's like, okay, I'm a little more comfortable in a game like this, and I can enjoy it a little bit more. So, yeah, I mean, I like it better than the other ones. I feel like it is very complex, but graphically it's a huge improvement over the other games.
Now that I'm really thinking about it, I think it might even be easier on the uptake than even LoL, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
what's more complicated?
It's pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward. The items is easier than any of the other games.
I like how we just zipped right past ESO and just got on Dongate.
Yeah, nobody.
I mean, I can't say anything about it.
Probably not going to play this weekend.
Yeah, no, I don't think we should go back to ESO. Let's just keep going with Dongate.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't want this to turn into a MOBA podcast, but MOBAs are fucking big right now. And you know what? I finally had fun, so it's worth bringing up. It's really pretty. It's really responsive. It's easy to figure things out. You can tell that it's in a beta because there's certain things that just aren't up to date. Certain menus are not the way they should look, but that's fine. It's in beta. It's very playable. You can just jump in. If you played a MOBA before, is there a tutorial? There's no tutorial. Mm-hmm. It's just like, here
it was
you go.
Just me talking to you guys on the mic.
Yeah, pretty much.
And also, there's only like, what, 15, 20 characters? So it's not like you've got 100 characters like Dota to like worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You pretty much know what you're going to get
Chad loves playing MOBAs with us because every time he dies, he calls out what you did wrong, like you don't know. Hey, you shouldn't have been under that tower. Tower shoot you. Yeah, I know.
Well, if it's that obvious, then maybe you shouldn't be under the target shot. I don't know. No, it's nice because I'm normally the guy that's getting shit on. Like, I'm normally the guy that's like, yo, dude, that sniper was sitting there for 10 minutes. Why didn't you know that he was going to shoot your face off?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I don't know. I'm not good. I don't know. But so it's nice to be like...
Yeah, for sure.
The guy that's the pretentious asshole that's telling you guys that you should be under the tower.
You know what I like more about this game than all the other MOBAs, though, is the... What are they? Sanctuaries? Is that what they're called? Along the sides of the lanes?
Spirit Wells.
Awesome. Spirit Wells.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, they. I mean, that's great because it actually gives you a reason to push the lane up and to have a little bit of lane control. You know, traditionally you have towers and you kill minions in a MOBA and you move up the lane and you eventually try to chip away at that tower until you can knock it down and then you can kind of roam the map a little bit more. That's traditionally what MOBAs allow you to do. But in this one, if you push up the lane, you can also capture the spirit well, which increases your gold intake.
And per minute.
That's great because there's a lot of times in Smite that we played and it was like, don't push the lane. Like, that became a thing in Smite. Don't push the lane. Don't push the lane. Don't push too hard. It's like, it goes against your natural instinct to, like,
dominate, you know, is what it is.
Yeah, to dominate, be aggressive and to play. Yeah. And it's like, all of a sudden you're playing this, you're letting minions kill each other, you're hanging back, you're playing very passively. And that's boring.
All right, I got to throw that out real quick. God damn it. The not pushing lane is smaller in Smite than any of the other MOBAs.
Oh, yeah.
Except for maybe Dawngate now. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean smaller?
Like, less, it's least not important.
Less important.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, in Dawngate, the last game we played, we lost the match having more kills because the guys just outpushed us. They just were ultra aggressive, just in our face the whole time.
I would have rather lost on kills and get steamrolled than that.
Yeah.
We were up on so many kills and they just kept pushing and we lost.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump in real quick.
Yeah.
I put a article up today on video games and drink pairings. So it's up there. I had fun writing it. I hope you guys have fun reading it. I know Emilio was chuckling a little bit when he was reading it. So it's
not
up
a
there.
Goddamn chuckle out of Bobby. Oh, he doesn't drink anymore though.
Oh, that's right.
Everyone, he was like, idiots.
Fucking drink.
So apparently Corona is the drink pairing for podcasting. This is our new thing.
Well, maybe for San Diego. No, what I liked is the, my favorite part actually was, what was it? The, indie games and,
craft beers.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like those are definitely along the same lines, right?
Did you guys
put a sticker that said, I see what you did there.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
Did you guys disagree with any of those or did you pretty much?
Only on the, vodka with the, what was it?
Sandbox.
Sandbox should have been just vodka cause the possibilities are endless. That's what I thought. That was a really strong.
Well, I'm a vodka guy. I just didn't want to, like, do everything vodka. Like,
you only had it once, vodka.
Well, because I did, like, a rum and coke, and I did a Long Island, and I did a... Didn't I do
a... The Long Island comic? Was really well thought out. I thought that was really good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what would be great? I mean, the drinking with video games? What about drugs with video games? Like, first person shooter, crack cocaine.
Real quick, it's got to be... Mario Brothers with mushrooms.
All right, that's an obvious. But.
Well, you got to do it.
Well, I was thinking the next one should be music genres with video games. And I thought Bobby should do music genres because, you know, like you do a first-person shooter, you probably want something harder.
Let's see how this article
Well, you're
goes.
The one always listening to Pandora when you're playing. I can't do that.
I'm always listening to the Macklemore channel, so, like, I don't... Like, that's just the channel I listen to when I play video games.
You know what, though? When I was playing this week, I did play a lot of Typing of the Dead, where someone took the House of the Dead game and they redid it, so you have to type in words as they pop up to shoot zombies.
It's a type.
How much did you pay for it? Because it was $20 when I looked
at it. I got it on sale for $10. Yeah, I bought it at price. Which
I
was
need
more
to be better at typing, so I was thinking...
Well, you need to actually learn how to type.
I still do the two fingers.
Yeah, you got to learn the home keys.
Which is crazy because you've been playing MMOs your entire life.
I was way better. I was way better when I was playing.
At finger poking. Like, you never...
No, I think I had it down when I was playing EverQuest. But then ever since fucking Skype and Ventrilo and all that, just why would I need to type?
And since you're not doing that at work, like, yeah, you true. Have real no need.
I'm typing all the time. But I had fun with that game, and I did better at that game when I turned off the volume and the music, and I pulled up iTunes and just put on something. I can't remember.
Man, you were focused. You were trying to focus, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was
were
a lot
you
easier.
Doing that to try to get better at typing, or were you trying to do it for the game aspect?
Just for the game. You know, I actually do practice typing 10 minutes a day, but... besides the point.
Did you know that they're working on an app called Spritz? I don't know if you've seen this. So this Spritz app that they're working on, you can look it up at, I think, Spritz.com with a Z. Spritz.
Capital Z.
Spritz.
Jesus Christ. No. Is it by the Japs?
No. Oh my God. So what this app does is it takes long pieces of text and it does individual words and it highlights the middle of the word. And you're supposed to just focus on the... it changes the middle of the word a different color, and you just focus on that.
Oh, right.
And you can get up to like 500 words a minute easily with mm-hmm. this app, because it teaches your brain to think about words in a different way than you normally do.
That's really cool.
So, I mean, like, I was playing around with just... they've got like a little demo on their website, and it is crazy. You can do 500 words and not even like... blink an eye, like it just comes to you. You read it normal.
Wow!
And it's a cool thing. I can't wait to see what happens.
By the way, guys, Chad is Japanese, so don't be offended by anything that I say.
I am not Japanese.
What's wrong with being Japanese?
Nothing. He speaks it.
Yeah. I'm fine.
Real quick, we're gonna get into there's big news in the Bitcoin world. I know I brought that up weeks and weeks ago, but Mt. Gox got hacked and millions of dollars of bitcoins were taken out of their accounts, and the CEO simply says they're gone and we're bankrupt. That was his statement. And I only bring this up because two things came to light for me. First of all, it's don't worry about Bitcoin. It as a concept is perfect. I don't think it can be corrupt. The biggest bank doing the transactions can be valuable to the nth degree, and this is what happened. Mt. Gox is an acronym for Magic the Gathering Online Exchange. That's what they were before they were trading bitcoins. They were just a Magic the Gathering card trading website, and they were like, let's jump into this Bitcoin thing. Boom, Bitcoin blew up. Next thing they know, they're trading millions and millions of dollars on software that isn't built for finance. Hackers, like, fucking had a field day with that shit. They went in, they hacked their accounts, they saw where all the bitcoins were going, they stopped some of the trying. I don't know exactly how it worked, but they definitely cleared out everything they had. So Mt. Gox kept doing all these transactions, thinking that they had this backing, but the money wasn't there. When they finally went to look for the money, it wasn't there. And that's what happened. So Bitcoin went down about $700 per coin. It'll go back up. If you have any money whatsoever, I would buy some Bitcoin right now because it's definitely going to go back up. And that's what happened. I just thought it was funny that an online card trading game just jumped over. They just happened to be the first, so they were the biggest. Now real banks are taking the place of this.
So... my understanding was part of Bitcoin's things was everybody was evaluating where the Bitcoins were. So you couldn't hack it. I thought that was kind of like the whole point of it.
If you spend it, that's on the ledger. If it's moved without being on the ledger, then there's no, as far as I understand it, they can be stolen, but they can't be spent without being tracked. So it's just like anything valuable.
But how does a person get it if it wasn't spent? So if a person has it and was never given it, then they got it illegally.
Right. And
so how can we not find the hackers that did this?
I don't know. I don't know how it all works. All I know is hackers are a lot smarter than I am, and they figured it out.
A lot smarter than most
people. So they'll probably break it up and spend it in mini transactions, millicoins. I would imagine.
They'll probably spend it on buying coins and guns for all those resources.
Wait, you didn't say it right. Guns.
Guns. You got to emphasize the Z, because that's like, you know, someone sleeping because guns. The game is boring. You see where I'm going with this joke?
I'll be over here snapping.
Did you guys see that Steam Family Sharing is now out of beta? It's part of Steam. You can do it on any account now.
I had no idea what you were talking about until last night. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I still have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, a friend of mine had used it, and he told me about it, and he was in the beta. But Steam Family Sharing is a situation where you can use it. Like, I'm over here at your guys' house. I could go onto your computer and log into my Steam account, and then I could authorize in the settings authorize your computer. So then I log out of my Steam account, you log into your account, and now if I'm not playing any of my games, you have access to my entire library. Which we know is pretty big.
Extensive.
So how much money do you want for this?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I thought
about it. Well, he's going to always be on Steam. So
yeah, exactly. It's like, well, good luck finding a time when I'm not playing. Although you guys
can anytime after 9 p.m.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right.
He's got a bed. John. He gets tuckered out.
Hey, I got to be up at 5:30 every day. But even when I'm not playing games, I usually have a game running to get cards and stuff, you know. I keep my games working for me. I'm making my Steam account work for me. Mining cards.
God, we should be mining Bitcoin.
But yeah. So I mean, that's pretty cool. The idea is that you know, in a household with multiple people who use the same computer and have different Steam accounts, they can play each other's games. But they say you can use it among friends and stuff too. So yeah, that's cool. You can share games with other people.
And we were talking about last night how what is the upside for Valve? No visible upside except for just being cooler, which brings in more.
Well, I'm
people.
Wondering if that's kind of a sales tactic, which seems really. Weird because theoretically you could play any of his 800 games.
Yeah, you get to sample it.
But yeah. Maybe long term you end up purchasing some of the games that he
does
has.
Make sense. Yeah, I can see that.
Because you played something.
Hey,
it's
man,
like
can
a
I
demo.
Have my account?
It's yeah, like, it's like a demo sort of.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if you
I can see that.
If you go through someone else's library, you play a game that they have, you're like, wow, this is pretty good, and then they're like, all right, get off now, you know, it's my turn. You know, then you might want to actually get that game for yourself. Totally. It's like a sample.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a cool idea. Hmm. I'll have to get you guys authorized on my 66 games I own.
Yeah. I probably have every single one of them, I would imagine. I saw today that I have 184 or something.
I wonder if there's a way to check and see if there's any games you guys have that I do not.
By the way, I have a Half-Life 2 game that I'm, like, just a free game that's been sitting in my...
Just email us. Yeah. You can have it.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't have Half-Life 2, I have a free one. Just hit me up and send an email and you can have this one.
If anybody doesn't have Half-Life 2, there might be people out there.
You know what? If you don't, stop listening.
No. I'm saying we'll teach you some of the basics. We'll kick you Half-Life 2.
Hey, you know what?
We'll show it out.
A couple weeks ago, I traded a guy my Half-Life 1 copy. He didn't have Half-Life 1.
Wow. Half-Life 1's before Steam, though, so he could have played Half-Life 1.
Not that this would happen. So let's say you had a friend. He's like, I want to get into PC gaming. Can I start... What do I start with?
Yeah, that's a great
question. What would you guys say?
Are you bringing that up because of Half-Life 2?
Yeah.
I would say guns.
Guns.
Where do you want to start? At the bottom.
PC gaming. Are we assuming he's got a good rig?
Yes. What mid-range?
He's got a gaming rig.
Yeah.
Can I be an asshole and say WoW, probably?
Wow, really? Let's say...
I mean, it's encompassed as almost 10 years of gaming.
Yeah, but you come over from a console. Let's say he's coming over from a console. Yeah. I think WoW would be
too much.
There
would be some follow-up questions. I'd be like, well, what do you play on the console? What do you like? What are you into? You know, like, you'd have to kind of feel him out before you can throw him in one direction.
I think you have to get him acclimated to WASD controls. So maybe Portal, that doesn't have any timer.
That would be very difficult. I remember
I agree with you. You play WoW on a... PvE server. He gets used to WASD. He gets used to using the hotkeys.
I think that might be
mouse
a bit
turn.
Much for someone. Yeah. Like, if they're new to gaming.
We look at these and it looks super easy, but you think about somebody who doesn't game coming into something like WoW, and that's daunting. That's really daunting. Yeah.
I mean, I have friends that do not game very much. They have in the past. You know, they played like Counter-Strike or the original Half-Life series. But now they just, you know, they don't have time for it, and they hardly ever game, and they don't have very good computers to run stuff on. So there are certain games that I do recommend to them. FTL has been one of them. Yep. Like, that seems to appeal to
really?
A lot of people.
It's my number one.
Oh, yeah.
FTL, yeah. You think is
if
less
you're a
complex
non-gamer,
than
yeah.
WoW. Because
you can pause and just think.
Wow.
It's pretty easy to figure out.
It's point and click.
Are you kidding me? WoW's like the biggest game out there.
Yeah, man.
It's like, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's too much depth, I think, for
how many times has it been dumbed down since it's come out? Like, well,
it's easy for us. It's easy for gamers.
Try it. Try to teach.
Are you talking about like maybe my mom's trying to play games?
Yeah, we're talking about someone new to
saying somebody new to. Yeah.
Because then I'd say like Peggle or something like that.
That's not going to hold their attention.
Are you kidding me?
My non-gamer friends over, if they ever, you know, Gabe and Matt and Jason, they've all come over and I had to like distract them for a little while. So I put them all on Portal. They all loved it. Like loved it.
Portal would have.
And they're really bad. Like they don't even know how to aim and walk around, but there's no monsters trying to kill you. WASD controls, you know,
it's a first-person shooter and a puzzle game, too, and it's a pretty creative puzzle
game. I'm
going to
go with Portal now. I was going to say Half-Life. Half-Life 2, maybe on easy mode, but even that, like, Greg couldn't do it. He couldn't get through that game.
Greg could it. Yeah.
No, he tried.
Oh. He did. Sorry, Greg.
I'm just making up names, folks. PC gamers don't have friends.
Not at all.
Anybody else have anything else?
I'm done. Oh, I do want you guys to try CLR once, because I really want to know if this is really the worst game I've ever played. Can you guys just load it up? It's a quick install.
CLR, doesn't that take the rust off of your faucets?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. But this one is actually cannons, lasers, and rockets, which would be a cool way to take rust off, also, if we had that option.
I wonder if they have Steam trading cards, because if they do, I'm in. Boom.
They've
sold. I play so many games because they have cards, and I want to get the card drops for Steam. I'm like, all right, I'll check that game out. And I actually played a really good one. Well, I talked about Hero Siege last time, briefly mentioned it. That game was super fun. There's also another one, Knights of Pen and Paper Plus One. Really fun. A really, like, small, like, indie game, just RPG, turn-based, kind of Final Fantasy kind of thing. But a lot of fun.
Was it free to play?
No, it's like $2, $2.50, something like that. Super cheap.
I've never played Dungeons and Dragons, you know, pen and paper, roll a die and stuff. And I've always been interested. Why? You would imagine that it would have been an easy jump for them to just go to PC and have the PC do all the roles for you. I know that's what EverQuest is. That's the honest degree. But I mean, bring it way back.
Well, that's Neverwinter and all those ones.
But even still, you're still playing Diablo, basically, and never.
Well, that one had like pause. You could pause and queue up actions.
Still, though, way back to the roots, where you have a dungeon master and all that. That'd be
turn
cool.
based and all.
But yeah, the thing is, you did that stuff back then because you didn't have a PC that could do graphics. It's like Hearthstone. It's like I wish we could make it through one podcast without talking about that game. And of course, I'm the one that brings it up now. But you know, you had you used cards because you didn't have like computer screens and computers and keyboards to interact with and like play a graphically pleasing game. So you use like cards to represent this situation. So it's kind of funny when I see these games that
represent cards that are representing a situation that we could have represented without the cards.
They play out the situation and they use cards too. It's like, you know, it's for nostalgic purposes.
That's like, remember Battle Chess way back in the day?
Yeah. Bobby said he was playing something similar to that.
To Battle Chess?
Yeah, something like Battle Chess. I saw it. There's a chess game out right now that has animations for every piece that takes another piece. Right now on Steam. You were talking about it.
Yeah, it's on my wish list.
It's called like Rook Takes Knight or something like that.
Check versus mate.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
And that looks really cool. It has.
Because I love Battle Chess.
That idea is not like 25 years old.
All I did was on Battle Chess, the original one. This is my mom's Mac Power PC or whatever it's called. I just set up all the, because you can set up like whatever game you wanted. I just put them all in the order so they could all kill each other just so I could watch the animation.
I seem to remember when I was playing that game, I was at the right age where anything female was hot to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the like the queen either or something. Yeah.
Boobs.
Yeah, it had like
kind of like swayish
missile tits or whatever was going. I just seem to remember.
At that point, there was two things that seemed like way crazy. Was there was a version of Tetris that I downloaded that instead of puzzle pieces, it was humans.
Sextris.
Yeah, Sextris.
Dude, that was big for my freshman year of college.
Oh my god, this is looking awesome.
And the dude on dude that would land and he'd score the points and you're like, oh, fuck.
And the other one was, this is super early, guys. I mean, super early. This is before You've Got Mail. When you failed at, I want to say Tetris, the computer would go, oh, shit. And I was like, oh, you know, I was like 12 or whatever. I was like, oh, he said shit. Hey, mom, listen. Oh, shit. And I was like, wow.
That was like before the ESRB and everything.
We're living in the future, bro. Wow.
The ESRB and Peggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Well, I got nothing else to talk about.
All right, let's wrap this up. So
sounds good.
Next week, we haven't really settled on a game. I will be playing South Park. And I will let you know how that goes.
So cool.
I am excited for that game.
Hey, why don't you let me play that with your family and friends?
We'll see.
Chad will sit on my lap and we'll play together.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm probably going to play the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot some more.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to play some Insurgency. I didn't play WoW at all this week, so I might play WoW next week. I don't know.
Wow, we'll 1 week clean.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm starting to get twitches and shakes in the shakes.
I'm just going to be playing all these bitches on my D.
Yeah.
No, actually, probably Mighty Quest for Epic Loot. It's not multiplayer, which is unfortunate, right?
I mean, it is in the fact that you can raid each other's...
It's meta.
Yeah.
Besides that, I really enjoyed Dawngate. I was surprised how after running through all this fucking MOBA chaos through the last few weeks and hating most of my experiences, I had some real fun today.
And you were playing Juice Volek and just owning people too.
That was pretty cool.
It
was pretty nice.
It was nice actually having somebody on the top down that was doing well.
What was it like second game? I went like 14 and 9 or something like that. Yeah. It's pretty good for like second game.
Yeah. Hmm.
Hi, right, folks.
Thank you
for listening. Email us if you need a copy of Half-Life 2.
And we also have some ESO, maybe?
Yeah, if anybody needs an ESO beta key, we have piles of them. So hit us up, send us an email, and we'll get back to you. Thank you very much.
Bobby, you want to...
Check out the website, dlgaming.net, if you want to get a hold of us. We're on iTunes as well, which is probably how you found us.
We got a Twitter and a Facebook now. It's DL Gaming on both of those.
Oh, yeah, we're doing that.
Like
us.
Yep. And Steam, DL Gaming Group. Hit us up.
Later.
Late.
Titties.